This call is now being recorded.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. I'll just do a quick roll call now that we're recording. Today's call we have Ray Fassett, Tony Holmes, Ron Andruff, Wolf Knorben, Gisela Gruber-White, and Linda Sagiri, and Rob Hogarth will be joining us shortly. Thank you.
Okay, this is Ray Fassett. I did not have the opportunity to send out an agenda for this call. Thanks for participating. We do have some follow-up from our meeting in Sydney to address. I did notice Ron sent out an updated version of what we've been calling the kite. He sent that out on 7/9, right? Okay, we had a chance to review it. I have to admit I've not had a real deep chance to review the document. Have other people?
I've had a look through it, right?
Okay.
Yes.
Good. Do we want to have some discussion on this document? Any
comments? Sure. Maybe if we could ask Ron to start with just exactly what his intent was with the amended version.
Certainly, Tony. At the meeting in Sydney, the action item, as determined by the those present in the room and on the call, I guess, was to revise this document to try to bring more clarity to particularly the opening statement, so people understood it was two bodies, not just one body being split into two. And that was for first point. And the second point was to remove issues where we had words like constituencies and try to shift those to moving them into the new terminology, into the different stakeholder groups. So the two aspects that I undertook with this document or this iteration of this document is exactly that. Clarify the opening language in the important notice for consideration of this document and to try to remove redundancies vis-a-vis constituencies versus stakeholders.
Okay, thanks,
Ron. Okay, I'm looking, for some reason, I'm not able to see the questions that we're asking.
Well, whilst you look for that, Ray, if I could just make one clarifying remark, if possible, which Ron can probably cover off. On the section that is entitled Description, there's still a note in there, need for a better example. It's where the text is highlighted in red.
Yes.
I wasn't quite sure how you were intending to do that, whether that was a subject for this call or whether you were looking still to change that. I'm just unclear as to what the situation was with that in particular, Ron.
Is the former, not the latter, Tony, meaning that when I read that sentence, you know, it just seems to me... Well, let me put it another way. I've seen this document so many times, I'm not sure if any more of certain aspects of it because I read right past them. So the thought for me, and the reason I highlighted that text, was to see if anybody in the group had a better idea for an example. So that's why I said better example needed. But if everyone's happy with that example, I'm fine with it too.
Okay. I'm sort of between a rock and a hard place on that, Ron, because... I don't have a better example, but I see why you're struggling. And I thought it started to stray into new proposals there because it makes specific reference to ICANN's strategic plan and the operational budget planning. And my current view of that is that isn't done within the GNSO at all. It's done in constituencies. And that's where we feed back. I mean, at ICANN meetings, the constituencies meet with the ICANN staff who are responsible for that part of the process. And we normally engage with them there, and then we'll send them comments in. So it isn't actually done at the GNSO level. It's done at the constituency level as it exists. Now, what form that takes in the new arrangements, I'm not sure. But I still thought it would be a pretty hard thing to achieve within the overall council, because I think we'll probably have slightly different views on that. So I'm all for trying to find a better example if we can. I must confess I don't have one at the top of my head that I can put forward.
Well, Tony, what you just said is, I agree with that. That's the point, is that it's not, that's what this example tries to bring out, is that, you know, that these discussions should be happening at the, we said here, the constituency slash stakeholder group level. And that's the point, is that we want, the idea of the, within the administration group's remit, they would actually say, okay, let's gather, you know, some people together to think and talk more about this, to actually get more, to really try to be the catalyst of that conversation, and to then draw out a better dialogue, better discussion on that particular element. Because right now, the way it is that we have policy officers focused on policy and predominantly that, so the idea here is this part of the body would be is trying to ferret out more information, get more sense of that. So there's actually people tasked with that, as opposed to it just, you know, people right now, as it happens, we'll get a message from our, in the BC in any case, we'll get a message from our policy council reps, here's something that's up for discussion, any thoughts? And that may pass completely without any dialogue, simply because there's so many other things on people's plates. Or it may be, you know, there's not so much going on, we'll get into a robust dialogue. But more often than not, if there's more stuff going on, things just float right by without any consideration. And the idea here is to try to create an example that says, this is what this body would do. These people, this is a matter, whatever the subject would be, this is a matter that crosses across all of the various constituents or stakeholder groups. And it needs a body to try to draw our attention to it and give more thought to it.
Well, if we can't find a better example, Ron, amongst us to put forward, and we're going to use that example, I think it would be worth, within that text, making the point that up until now, this has been done really within constituencies, and it hasn't been progressed at the council or the GNSO level. And that's one of the key changes that you're putting forward, because now I understand that's what you're saying, but I almost read into it that was my take without the words being there. So maybe we need to add something that makes the point that that wasn't done at that level before and it could be done in the future if we're going to stick with that example.
I would agree with that. So I hate to bounce this ball so fast back into your court, but if you could bring some thought and some language to that from your perspective, that would be helpful. Because as I say, I'm struggling with it at this point. Or anybody else on the call, on the team, is welcome to bring some thought to that. Because at this point, I'm just having trouble trying to refine that.
If we go down that path, I think it's a difficult one as well, because up until now, if you look across the views that have gone back from the old constituencies on things like the operational budget, I think we've all come at that from our own perspective. And we've all put views in, they've all been useful, but they haven't necessarily been the same. And what we're going to get into quite quickly is a desire to make sure that what comes out as an overall GNSO view. I think that could be pretty hard to get at times.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, until we cross that bridge, we won't know it. But I would agree that we're never going to always have 100% agreement.
Rob Hogarth joining.
Hello, Rob. Back to you, Ray.
Well, Rob, thank you for joining.
I apologize for my lateness.
That's okay. We're just doing a review of the most recent revision of the Kite document that Ron was kind enough to prepare for us. And I have to admit, I have not had a chance to deeply review the edits or the changes. We've had a discussion on just completed discussion on one of the examples of how to demonstrate administrative functions. So that's about all where we're at. So you're pretty much caught up now.
Ray, if I could just pick up on that, if you go through or one just goes through the deleted things that I've taken out, often you'll see is things like subgroup, group, constituency. It's really so a lot of the edits have just trying to get one set of phraseology all the way through the document. So if it's administrative group, it's administrative group all the way through the document. If it's policy counselor, it's policy counselor all the way through the document. So what I was trying to achieve with this round of edits was just to bring more clarity. There's been nothing materially changed in this. I just want to make sure we bring that out. The document itself remains the same.
Great. Okay. So not a lot of substance change.
No substance change. Except for the fact I was suggesting that we move the chart from the middle of the document to the end of the document, because I think once you read through this and then you look at the chart, it's more clear, as opposed to looking at the chart halfway through the clarification of what the chart means.
Okay, I think that's a good suggestion.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I wonder if I can just go back, Ron, to that paragraph we were discussing just now.
Please.
The red paragraph. And the point that I was making, I think I've got words that are only a few words, but they probably clarify. If you read through that and get to the end of the sentence that says this is a cross-cutting topic that is not limited to policy development, that's
yes.
the first line of the text in red.
Yes.
And at the end of that, add some text, so it will say, is not limited to policy development, and until now, this has never been handled at the GNSO level. I think that makes the point.
Perfect. That's perfect. And then it picks up with the next sentence, a well-developed budget includes.
Yes.
Perfect.
Okay.
That's very helpful.
Okay, so let me go through that again. So I'm reading the sentence. For example, while all constituency stakeholder groups could review and participate in ICANN's strategic and operational budget planning, this is a cross-cutting document that is not limited to policy development, period.
Yep, and the additional text ray is, and until now, this has never been handled at the GNSO level.
That up to now has not been handled at the GNSO council level?
Well, I think it's the overall GNSO level rather than just council, which is the point I think Ron's trying to make.
Okay.
Agreed.
Okay. I think that's a fine amendment. Wolf, do you have any issues with that, making that amendment? Excuse me.
No, I'm fine with that. Thank you. It's very okay.
Okay. If there's no other discussion on the changes, which again are not substantive changes, per Ron's comment, I'd like to focus in on the questions. I'm having a hard time bringing those questions.
I'll come back to you, if I may, on the question,
yeah.
Ray. Just one other question. One other point I had made in here, there's another red block you may have noticed further on. It's on the bottom of the chart. It says I recommend that we make the footnotes 11-point font and bold to ensure they're red. For some reason, on the most recent document, I think they fell out. The footnotes, or I may have deleted them out of my most recent document for some reason. But in any case, I put them back in this edit just for clarification that people understand that when we say constituency for whatever reason, even though it's a past term, it reflects what we're trying to say in the new light. So that's what point one. And the second point is, in the drawing itself, I added that small green box on the right just to clarify what those green circles mean. In relation to the blue boxes that make up the executive committee.
Ron, a couple of questions on that. The footnotes, when you said that the diagram is going to go to the end, I assume the footnotes go to the end after that. Is that
sure,
correct?
Exactly. Okay. And I think that would kind of summarize everything for everyone, anybody reading, saying, okay, I understand. You've used the word constituency in here, but clearly you understand stakeholder group.
Okay.
But with regard to those green boxes, does that green box, does that clarify what those green circles now mean? Does that make it clear for you as you read it, gentlemen?
No, Ron, I couldn't read that. What does it mean, those green boxes?
You can't read it? It didn't show up the text, you mean? Or?
It's something in my document, it shows the format in the upper layer, so these boxes are covered by format comments. You know what I mean?
The one I'm looking at is clean. It just shows, GNSO chair, policy council, administration, policy council elected rep. Those boxes there, you're saying, have some other...
I haven't seen that on the phone. Okay.
I had some trouble when I looked at it on the screen, but when I printed it out, it came out okay.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Some formatting problem on that, because on mine it's clean. Okay, but when you printed it out, Tony, did you see then there's a box on the right-hand side?
Yes.
In green?
Yes, but that box, if you put it on the screen, that box, for some reason or the other, it positions itself lower down in the text.
Okay, so it's there's a formatting problem. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. Well, what that box says, this is the point, basically it's a bracket that is in green, the same color as those two round circles, the two round circles being two counselors per constituency, and an arrow going up, and the next one is one to two representatives per constituency, and an arrow going up, and those arrows and the green are bracketed with a green line, and it says in the box, three or four representatives per constituency would serve in the new GNSO, and then in parentheses, split between the policy council and administration. So it's basically it was a box of clarification, but obviously that didn't come through very well. So,
well, if I view the document in print form.
Oh, so when you go up, you're saying you look at click on view.
Yes, click on view and then print layout.
Okay, and then you get it properly in that case.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I have to then lower the size down to 100% or less, and it comes up fine.
Okay, Wolf Ulrich, did you catch that?
Well, I can read it. It's right now. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. If you follow Ray's lead on that, he's saying at the top of your Windows screen, under view, if you click view, and print view.
Yeah.
It will give you give you the page again. And he's saying if you reduce it to 100%, maybe it jumps to 150 on your screen, but if you reduce it to 100%, you'll actually see all of the diagram.
So we've got a little bit of formatting to do on this before it can go out.
Obviously. In fact, you know what I will...
That's okay. Great.
Okay, good.
Thanks.
So maybe we can... Have staff just clean that document up so the formatting comes through cleanly when it gets moved to the back page.
There's another problem on the front page as well, or there certainly was on my setup. When I looked at the front page and the text that's in the block, it doesn't show all of it when you just put the document on the screen. You have to print it yet again, so there's some issues around that as well, I think.
Okay. So you're saying the box actually shrinks, so all of the text is
the one that's headed important notice.
Right.
I could only see part of that, and I couldn't make it any bigger. It was only by printing it I saw what was underneath.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, I would suggest we take that out of the text box form. I was having the same problem.
Yeah. I think that was Julie was the one, if I'm not mistaken, who put it into that box, so she may actually have the original of that, but we can certainly just rewrite that page.
I'll follow up with her on that.
Yeah.
She's on vacation now,
right.
But now, I'll have some communication.
And actually, Ray, that comes to your question. Where is the question?
Yeah, I got them now.
It's only the one question, basically. It's just, that's, again, we reduced it.
Oh.
It was on the very first page.
Okay, yeah, I see that now.
Yeah.
Are we really going to do that, Ron? Because my take on that was that whatever anyone said, we needed the answer to that question. But it wasn't going to limit the response back purely to saying yes or no. We'd want some additional feedback
as
well.
Rationale.
Is that your take?
I can go either way on this one. My take at coming out of the Sydney meeting was to dumb this document down as much as possible. So that was the rationale there. We're asking you one question. Do you believe or don't you? And I kind of assumed, rightly or wrongly, that people feeling strongly one way or the other will actually tell us why they feel that way. But I can go one either way on this one from my point of view.
Did you say then that they will tell us which way?
I have a sense that people will say, I think this is a stupid idea and here's why. Or I think this is a brilliant idea. And maybe they'll tell us why. But if they think it's just a brilliant idea, well, at least we know they like the direction. But as I shared with, I think, you and Wolf in Sydney, it doesn't matter to me which answer we get from the community coming back to us.
I just wonder whether we really are going to limit it to yes or no, because the reason I raise that is I think in a lot of cases people are running pretty hot at the moment. 17 working groups is quite a lot for DNSS, and you may well just get back a yes or no. So make sure that that is enough if that's the question you're going to ask.
You know, my view on this actually was to, I kind of envisioned it this way, so, you know, please give me your thoughts, guys. I kind of assumed that we would send this out to each of the current constituencies and ask them to share this with their members and provide us some feedback, you know, within a specific period of time, say 2 weeks after we send it to them, to allow their community members to, you know, provide feedback. I then thought they would just post the document to the list, each constituency, saying, you know, we've been asked to give some feedback to this, please respond. Maybe we should be saying respond to a particular email address, and put that in the document. Please respond to this email address. And then all the responses would then just, anybody who cared to respond would just click on that link and say, good idea, bad idea, this is what I think.
We discussed this in our constituency meeting in Sydney, Ron, and we took a decision, rightly or wrongly, that we would respond back as a constituency.
As a group?
As a group, yeah.
We're trying to get this out to the sort of the broader community to let each individual kind of weigh back in, as opposed to a constituency standpoint. This is a kite. You know, that's the whole point. The kite is just to get the direction of the wind, not affirm, you know, our group stands this way or that way. Because I think if we do that, we're trying to put a kite up in the air to see which way the wind blows, but now we're not going to let the wind blow on it. So I wouldn't want to see anything get in the way of each individual responding.
Okay, maybe that's that's an addition as well, that you can ask constituencies to respond, but also open it up to individuals as well.
Yeah, but more importantly, this is the whole point. That's why this document opens up by saying that we feel it's important. We've been tasked this and that. We feel that it's appropriate to seek broader input from the ICANN community on an approach that would fundamentally change. So that's what we're asking for the community to weigh in. So individuals hopefully will weigh in, and constituencies certainly can. But the what I was trying to draw out in this is just the practical matter of how do we get this out and how do we get a response. Do you agree that it might be a better idea to have an email address that would feedback, that all the feedback goes to one place, unfiltered as it were?
Well, we can do that anyway, but I think that there's a risk whichever way you do this, Ron, because currently people are under a lot of other pressures in different working groups and doing different things. And what I wouldn't want to see was this get left, A, because people haven't got time, and B, because they'll think somebody else is doing it. At least if it goes to constituencies and you request a response, then you should at least get something back from those constituencies. If other people can also put their views in, then that's an addition. So maybe we need to cover it off both ways.
Yeah, it's a good point. So when we send this out, and I'm not sure who's sending it out, I could send it out, but say that I am sending it out, this is Ray, what am I asking the chair to do? Am I asking them to give us explicitly saying, don't give us a constituency statement, give us, please have your members provide an opinion to this email address?
Yeah, I think you're asking for both, Ron, and the message that's currently in the box, in the text, would need to be revised. I think we should put, as Ron suggested, possibly a two-week deadline. We should ask for a response from each constituency. But in addition to that, we should make it quite clear that there is the ability for individuals to contribute and that we'd also welcome that as well. So they can contribute under their own right. Particularly what we're looking for maybe from the constituencies is a clear answer to Ron's major question, which is a yes or no. But we could also seek some additional input back on how people view this and why they view it that way, and welcome them to post that as individuals. Because that way we're going to get two feeds in, one at the constituency level and one from the individual.
But to your point, Tony, your constituency would not, your members would not respond at all that way. They
well,
would respond through the...
I would ask them to do that. I mean, we took a decision that we were going to respond as a constituency, and we will certainly do that as a constituency. That shouldn't prohibit anyone from posting their own views either.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm quite happy to encourage them to do that. I'm just wary that if we just say, let's leave it to individuals, all you're going to get back is a few people who feel pretty strongly about it either way. And the middle ground, which is probably what we're seeking, we're not going to hear from.
Yeah, so I think that sounds about right. So, Ray, you know, if I, my take on that is just it's an email from you that goes to the constituency heads, and you can almost lift the language right from the this first page, this box that we're talking about, important notice for consideration, because all the language is there. It just explains, you know, and you can explain to them that, you know, we're tasked with this specific mandate, and then we have an idea, and we'd like to get some feedback from community whether or not it makes sense or not, if they could be so kind, if the constituency representatives could be so kind to disseminate this to their members, their respective members, with a deadline to respond back within 2 weeks, and we would be grateful if we could have a constituency position, but equally importantly, we want to have individuals give their take on this idea. Again, you can explain, this is, our job is to try to define a high-level principle.
Right.
And this is all we're trying to do with this, but we need the feedback from community.
Right. And now if I was reading this document for the first time, I would probably have questions before I could answer yes or no, clarifying questions.
No clarifying answers. Because I tell you why, we could waste so much time, and as Tony just pointed out, everybody's bandwidth is so narrow. I think this document spells out, you know, there very clearly there's two bodies. One is policy, one's administration. This is what we're looking at. We can't find consensus within the within our working team. So we're looking out to you guys. Where do you fall on this thing? Because, you know, we all take decisions pretty quickly, given limited amount of information within ICANN.
But I'm just saying we're not allowing, if anybody has a question, we're not going to allow an opportunity to say, I have a question on this before.
My point is I would push back on that, because you'll get one question here, another question there. We'll find we go on for another 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks before we actually just get the basic answer for our question.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. But is that going to harm our ability to get responses? Because people are going to go, well, I can't answer the question because there are other questions I have before I can give a yes or no.
There is one other way around this potentially, Ray, and that is that we could ask people to indicate whether they have questions, and if they do, we could set up maybe an hour's call where we could just take them on the hoof.
That's a possibility. I agree that's a possibility, but guys, I think we're overthinking this thing.
Okay.
I've been saying this for months.
Okay.
I think we're overthinking it from the point of view, all we want to do is get a sense from a larger group of people that they want it to go left or go right. Once they give us that, we're going to finalize this high-level principle in a day, and then we're going to move on to the other work we have. As I said to Tony in Sydney, you know, we should take this, all of us in this group, which is a very small group, and just look at the elements we have to do and attack it like a project and get it nailed down within the next 4 weeks. Whatever's left, let's just, you know, a call every week and just do it. In our businesses, we do that. When we let this stuff drag on and on and on and on, it gets fruitless in the sense that there's no progression anywhere. And I think that's frustrating, and I think it's delaying a lot of the other stuff that's going on. If we, within our work group, just move forward on this stuff and you know, nail some stuff down and say, okay, we've done our work, we hand it back to the GNSO, and you guys decide. We just came up with the high-level principles. You take it from here. The new council and the new bodies will take it from there. Our job is really to try to refine some thinking, not to refine the whole thing. Just get people moving in a certain direction. That's all we're trying to do. Once that's happening, then the refinements are going to come by other bodies than ours.
Okay, so if we put an email address in here that anybody can respond to, and They give us a yes or no,
and
then they
comment,
and then they decide to put forth all these other comments, their thoughts.
Yes.
Are we going to even consider any of those other thoughts, or are we just going to stop at whatever they say, yes or no?
No, we consider them. We can obviously we can consider them for sure. We want that. We want that feedback. We value the feedback.
Because right, that's a little different. Because when we did the smaller version, when we sent it out to just a small group, and we got lots of comments back, what I heard was, well, they're not answering the questions. They're going off on things, and all we wanted them to do was answer those three questions, and we wanted to disregard all of the other comments. I'm just wondering how we're going to handle that.
Well, I think you just,
now I'm
you
hearing
just said
that we want all that feedback, beyond just yes or no. We want it all. We want all that feedback.
The key for us is to get a direction. The yes, that's the yes or no. And then the nuances of that direction are going to come with comments or not. There may or may not be comments. But we need direction first.
All right. So are we going to ask for, are we going to put in there that we are accepting additional comments in addition to the yes or no?
Yes. Well, it was speaking. I would say as well, because it is a little bit strange, well, just only for seeking for a yes or no, because people are looking for, well, they would like to be encouraged to say yes or no. And to be encouraged, to get encouraged, is that means to have the chance, well, to comment on these things. So I would say we should leave it open as well. We should really people encourage to say yes or no, but in addition also to put some comments on it, so as they like. So it could be a comment, okay, just no. If you only give them a chance, well, to say yes or no, they would like to say no and tell you, okay, I didn't have any other chance to comment on it, but don't ask me why. I say no.
Here's a proposal.
That's not enough, I think so. Just leave it open, encourage people well, to say yes or no, but please also let them put some comments on it.
Here's a proposal. The line goes like this. We'd be very grateful for an answer for that you agree or disagree with this way forward. All
yes.
Period. All comments welcome, period.
Sure.
Good proposal, Ron.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I think that's a good proposal as well. Now, if we get back lots of yes or just yes or no's without a ton of comments, are we going to interpret that as our work team, are we going to interpret that result, whichever way it is, as an endorsement or a non-endorsement of the structure, the chart that we have in there? Are we going to say, well, 90% of them said yes, so therefore they are in agreement with the structure? Are we going to make that conclusion?
I think it's not that way, Ray. I think the answer is that when the community comes back and gives us a direction, then we will look at all of the comments vis-a-vis that direction. And if we have a lot of people saying, good idea but bad structure, we'll just take the structure right out of there. But if there's no comments about the structure one way or the other, we can just say, here's a high-level principle of how we view the GNSO going forward, and put our notes on the side, leave our notes in an envelope, if you will, and then let the new GNSO come and address this issue, and I would think they would then come back and say, could we look at the work team's notes on this to understand where they were coming from, and then we'll see the chart. I mean, this is we got to cross that bridge when we get to it. The first step here is really to find out what the community says, and once the community gives us some feedback, then we can have this conversation, but in lieu of information, we're just talking about hypotheticals.
Okay, so a lot of our reaction is going to be dependent upon what we get back. And we're going to ask for all comments welcome and go from there. Is that right?
That's how I see it, yeah.
Okay, and if we get comments back from people with questions that we're not going to take a position of, well, they didn't understand the document, or they didn't read it carefully, or they didn't read it, we're not going to take that position. Right?
Correct.
And I just want to make sure how we interpret it, because the last time we did this, and we got back a few comments from people. We took a position somewhat of, well, they didn't understand it, and that's going to happen, you know, with this and this time around as well. So I just want to make sure that we're open to all everything that we get back, that we're going to dismiss anything that we get back. I just want to make that point.
No, I would agree in some things you said, but I disagree in others, in the sense that when we sent it out to that first group just to get a feel for how they were feeling about it, what that did help us to understand is we need to sharpen the language and clarify some issues and dumb the document down. So that was fruitful. I don't view it as being negative, but the issue that I had with it was that we were sending it to guys who have been in the GNSO now for 100 years. And so their view of the GNSO is not necessarily an open, unvarnished view. They have a very clear view of what the GNSO does and may or may not want to see it change for whatever reason. So that was where I was critical about that. But in this case, whatever comes back, we're going to look at all the information, just like we're doing right now with the DAG. You know, the DAG comes out, the community responds, staff, synthesizes all those responses and tries to then come back with another version of the DAG. So in the same way, we're going to function here. We send this out, we get some feedback, gives us some better understanding of what the community feels, and with that, we will then take our next steps as a work team.
Okay. Okay. Any additional discussion on this document? What are next?
Regarding the time frame, Ron, you mentioned you would like to have it back within 2 weeks after it has been sent out. So the question is, when it shall be sent out? And please take into consideration we have now a summer vacation. It ranges from July to August. So that means really we could expect real answers end of August, I would like to say.
My goodness, guys, that's,
I understand,
Wolf, I understand. Again, gentlemen, all we're trying to do is to get some feedback back. We don't have to have the whole community's feedback. As Tony just pointed out, there are some 17 work teams going on right now, summer vacation or no summer vacation. I think it's really important that we all have a good look at this document as it is right now. Today is the 10th, it's Friday. Next Friday, everybody submits their final modifications to this document, whatever that is. Okay, if there's any further input, this first page needs to be cleaned up and so forth, so we'll need staff to do that and submit an email address and whatever. So once that first page is done and everyone is happy with the document, I say we get it out and put 2 weeks on it. Because anyone who will respond. And anyone who, I don't think people are going to say, I was on vacation. I didn't get a chance to put my voice to this, that I like it or I hate it. It's a kite. It's only to give us direction.
I do think, having heard what Wolf Ulrich said, that we should look to extend it beyond 2 weeks, Ron. I think that in the holiday season is really asking an awful lot. I don't know whether it should go to the end of August, but certainly longer than 2 weeks.
Okay, so Ron's suggestion was on the 17th we send the document out. Is that correct?
That's where I was leading, yes.
Okay, I think that's reasonable. I think Julie's might be back in the box. I'll have to listen to this recording again to hear the action steps that we have decided upon, some additional language. I'll need Julie's assistance to get it formatted so we don't have any issues in that regard, functionality issues. That should be obtainable doing those things by the 17th, right? Okay. So then it becomes, how much time do we give? Ron is suggesting 2 weeks, which would be the 31st of July. And I'm hearing that might be a little aggressive if we really want to try and get a lot of feedback. I hear Ron's point. If you're going to want to comment, you're going to do that. You're not going to wait. The longer you give people, sometimes they will wait till the last minute. So if you say 3 weeks, then they'll wait until the end. And here's another point. If we extend it out beyond 2 weeks, then we will have to send a reminder out as well, which we should do anyway. But if we were to extend it out at all, I suppose our options are August 7th, August 14th, August 21st, or August 28th. I'm hearing that the 28th would probably be is too much time, so now we're left with the 7th, the 14th, and the 21st of August. I'm sort of siding with Ron here. I think if we did the August 7th, which is 3 weeks, it would be in our best interest.
Are you really expecting answers from the constituencies as well, not only from single members?
Well, practically speaking, my thoughts on that are constituencies will not comment. I don't think the registry constituency is going to make a statement on this. I don't think. Now, I could be wrong.
I had the other view, Ray, because I thought that that was the only way we could actually guarantee getting a response back, other than from people who maybe have a particular axe to grind.
Yeah, that's where I was struggling a little while ago. It's like, what am I explicitly asking for? If I explicitly ask for a constituency statement...
You should get something back from constituencies on this. If not, then we take the view, well, it's fine. They don't care either way.
But if I say that... You can respond as it, which one am I stressing? That's what I'm trying to get at. Which one we are asking for a constituency statement. I think the constituency will then, you know, try to meet that request. But if I say, well, we're looking, it's up to the members. If you want to have a constituency statement, you can, or your individual members can comment. It doesn't matter to us either way. Actually, Ron is, I think, encouraging that we stress the other way, not to have a constituency statement. Then I don't think we're going to have a get one. Right.
I think you know we can go either way on this thing. But at the end of the day, it's that first page. It says right here, we feel it's appropriate to seek broader input from the community. Therefore, we would be grateful to receive a constituency response. But most importantly, we need a response from the various community members individually, and we encourage everyone to respond to this address. And then I would say 1 week before the close of the deadline, send another message to the constituency representative saying, could you please respond back to us, you know, by this time with a constituency position or not. Please let us know. That way, the constituency reps can come back and say, okay, this deadline closes in a week. We're going to publish this statement. Is anybody in agreement or disagreement, whatever. And they can move that forward. And if it comes back, everyone says we're deadlocked within the constituency, they come back and say, you know, our group is split down the middle. Some say yes, some say no.
Maybe we can ask the staff on the call. For instance, dare I suggest, Rob, what's your experience of requests that have gone out asking for input back from the general community?
Thanks, Tony. I think... they depend on the issue. If it's something that's very hot, as you know, folks will respond very quickly. For something like this coming in cold, you might expect that you'd probably need a little bit more time. The only thing that sort of strikes me in terms of the conversation you're having is that certainly from a constituency standpoint, the feedback you guys constantly provide is that you want more time. And I think that's the balance you guys are discussing right now, because let's say this gets circulated on day one. The constituency, the responsive constituency leader will send it out to his or her stakeholders, constituency members, and give me a response in a week. And then it seems as if it takes another week to develop a draft and then another week to fight over the draft. So you're talking at least 2 weeks, probably three, just for there to be a formal constituency response. I think the more you emphasize individual responses, then that will certainly help you in terms of your feedback. The only other recent experience we've had on this is, of course, the constituency toolkit survey that we did last year around the time of the Cairo meeting. We made some significant efforts to publicize, get it out, send reminders to folks, and got a total, after giving folks, I think, 6 weeks to respond, of 28 responses. So I think it's a matter of managing your expectations about how many responses you're going to get, and trying to balance that time frame. Now, again, if you're looking at formal responses, maybe a little bit more time. If you're looking at the individual responses, then the lesser time probably makes sense.
I'd agree with that. This is Ray. I'd agree with that.
And I would also add one other point to that, is that, we're traditionally, people that agree with things do not respond. You look at the public comments on a lot of things, but people, you say, well, there's no comments there. And the answer is, people don't have a problem with it. That's why it's okay.
Right.
We may only get a few responses, is what I'm saying, and we may find that there's a large group of people that just kind of, it's fine with them.
Yeah, so we have to be careful that we don't make that assumption. It's
right.
Just because we don't get responses back.
Right.
So we have to be, I think we have to be clear that we are, if you agree, or if you like this, or whatever, please tell us that you like this.
That's my point. That's why I'm suggesting you take your language for your email to the constituents and, take it from our first page. At least try to be, that keeps consistent language in what we're trying to say and what we're looking for. We need a yes if you think it's a good idea. You need a no if you think it's a bad idea. And all comments are welcome.
Yeah, and I would probably slant it as we're looking for individual comments.
Uh-huh.
If you would like to provide a constituency statement, that's up to you.
Most welcome.
Yeah, that's up to you. But this is how I will explain it to the constituency heads, the chair people. Is if you want to provide a constituency statement, that's up to you, but we're looking for individual member comments, and here's the email address.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So why don't we make it three weeks, then split the difference
uh-huh.
on the time frame. 7 August.
Okay.
And the effect of that, just so I'm thinking this through, the effect of what we're asking for is individual response versus constituency response. I don't think there will be necessarily a lot of discussion by the constituency groups. In other words, if I send it to a chair, the chair is going to say, please read this document and provide any comments you have to this email address. But they're not going to spend time deliberating the document or vetting it out within their own constituency. I don't see that happening.
I agree.
Which I think is probably good, considering everybody's workload right now. Now, some constituencies may decide that they want to. I just don't anticipate that.
And that's their call, whatever way they want to go. So that's fine.
Yes. I'm okay with that. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'm fine with that, right?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so we've still got a little work to do here. We've got a week to get this ready. And like I said, action step-wise, I'm going to have to listen to this recording again, get exactly what we need to do. Julie's going to have to listen to it. I'm going to have to collaborate with her on this one, probably a phone conversation so that we're clear on what we need to do. And then, a week from today, do you want us to send this document out internally to our group? Here's the clean version that Julie and I came up with.
I think that's a good idea. One last look, I think, is always better to, as they say, measure twice, cut once.
Yeah. Okay. So if we set a deadline on that to be next Friday, does everybody have an opportunity to take that one last look over the weekend and then we send it out on Monday, the following Monday?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay. And then if we take that tact, then the Monday would be the 10th. And then I'm in the wrong month. The Monday would be the 20th. Which would put the deadline 3 weeks after that of the 10th of August. Is that correct?
That was correct.
Okay. Okay. I think that's fair. Now, next thing I wanted to ask you guys is, can we do a call next week? Are you guys available? Are we available?
I am. Ron will be. I'm going to be in Taiwan.
Okay.
So it may be a little tricky for me there, but I could probably take a call in depending on the time.
How about everybody else? Is next week at all?
Well, are you talking about Friday, right?
No, I want to get back on Wednesday. This was really to accommodate me today because I was completely out of pocket this past Wednesday.
Right. Wednesday's out for me because it clashes with the GTLD workshop in London.
And
oh.
I'm actually flying on that day myself, so I'll be flying for 2 days.
Oh, July 15th is the GTLD workshop in London, huh?
Yes.
July, that would be what, July 22nd? Where am I at here? Way off. No, that would be the 15th. Okay. All right.
Well, let's do this. You're going to
yeah.
get the document out, so there's a lot of work to be done this coming week in
okay.
any case.
All right.
So why don't we consider picking up the call on the following week?
The 22nd, then? Get back on our Wednesday, 1600 UTC?
I may be, I for myself will still be in, yeah, that's fine. I will still be in Taiwan, but that's fine.
You can do the 22nd, 1600?
22nd.
I don't know what time that is in Taiwan. It's probably, what, 4 a.m. for you?
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. I'll check that after the call.
Okay. All right. Because there are like you know there are so many groups going on that you know we don't want to be moving around our time slot. We're kind of fixed in that every other Wednesday 1600 UTC. I'd like to keep that. Does that work for everybody else?
No.
Okay. Well, we're approaching an hour on this call. I think we made some progress on the kite document. I hope everybody is comfortable with that. We didn't get too far today on the other rules of procedure or the quorum. Issues and voting and those things. So let's pick that stuff up on the 22nd.
One question, Ray. Did
yep.
we get any feedback from Dan Halloran on the SOI DOI yet?
No, I haven't. I got a response acknowledging receipt of the document and that someone would be following up with him with us or with me from staff.
Okay.
Maybe not Dan.
Yeah.
But I've not heard anything since then, so I'll ping him on that.
Be good to know if we because I think that one for all intents and purposes is kind of checked off our list. So it'd be good to know that we got staff approval on that. So that's all.
Yeah, I thought we had a good discussion on that one in Sydney. I think I heard probably one person that was not crazy about the documents, but I think in general everyone else thought they were pretty good. Is that what everybody else is in?
That was my take. But again, there was a little bit of confusion in there that they felt this was going to be very cumbersome. And the point when it was drawn out that this is just a statement made by the chairperson at the beginning of the meeting, that clarified a lot of issues.
Okay. Okay. So I'll contact Dan too for any update and let you guys know what I hear.
Ray, this is Rob. If I can get in the queue here.
Yeah. Please go ahead, Rob.
Sure. In terms of the issue with Dan has been on vacation post Sydney.
Yeah.
I think he'll be returning early next week. He did assign to another member of the legal team because I talked with him about it briefly in Sydney.
Okay.
So I would imagine when he returns, he'll have some report or, you know, once he clears out from the pile of papers, we'll be able to respond. But it wouldn't hurt, as you've suggested, to just drop him a ping. So that's higher on his priority list when he returns.
Sure, we'll do.
The other thing is on any communications to Julie, if you could also include me and Gisela on there. I can't recall at this moment the exact date that Julie returns.
Okay.
And so I don't want her absence to otherwise stall the document process. So if it turns out she's not going to be available, then you and I can work on it or we'll identify some additional support so we can keep that moving along. The last thing in terms of the quorum discussions is that we discussed it briefly on the GNSO council call yesterday, and the reason the issue came up is that in the bylaw amendments comment forum, a comment forum that is currently open and open through the end of July, Philip Shepherd did submit some comments noting that there were some issues in the current draft of the bylaws that still had some quorum language. And the discussion among the council was to generally sort of take the position that staff should alert the board that there were efforts underway to address the quorum issue and that in general the council wanted a lot of those operational rules to be in operational rules, not in the bylaws. So I just wanted you all to know that that discussion is taking place in a wider sense, and if any of you individually thought that it was useful, you could submit comments in the forum that addressed Philip's concerns. So just wanted to highlight that for you all.
How does that affect us? I'm not clear.
Well, and actually, if I may, just for clarification, Chair, I thought that when we were in the Sydney that we actually kind of clarified language for the future GNSO vis-a-vis quorum.
Yes, you did. And you know, I had to leave that meeting a little bit early, but you guys have been going through that discussion. To the extent that that word is not out to the broader community, I raised it to you. You know, if there's an interest in one of you or having you, Ray, sort of look at what Philip said and said, oh, don't worry, this work team's addressing that, and just having that in the comment form would be useful. Otherwise, as staff will be advising the Structural Improvements Committee that these discussions are underway, and I'll talk or try to communicate with Julie in terms of any specific work product that you guys have developed in that regard.
Yeah, if you can send me a link to that form, I would.
Sure, we'll do.
Okay, here's what the language Julie came up with as a result of our discussion in Sydney. In order for the GNSO Council to initiate a meeting, a quorum must be present. A quorum is a majority of voting members, which includes at least one member of each stakeholder group. At the time of a vote, there must be a quorum. That was it.
Yeah, that's it. So I think that we're probably pretty good there, but it behooves us now to go and check those comments that Phyllis made. What we're talking about, the language you just described, Ray, is what we're recommending in the revised bylaws. So what the council is now dealing with sounds to be a little bit overlapping, and so we should. I think that's interim. What they're talking about is in the interim phase, or maybe it's in the bylaws. As Rob just described, but there should be some. You should have a look into that and let us know whether we should be picking this up again or not.
So, if it's in the bylaws, are we saying that it doesn't need to be in the council rules of procedure?
Yeah, well, actually, I think that's the point. Thank you for clarifying the language, because I think that's the point there. If I understood what Rob just said, is they're suggesting to get it, to have that out of the bylaws and in the rules of procedure. And we've defined that in the rules of procedure. So the point being is when he sends you that link, you might just forward a copy of what we've done, or what we're considering for rules of procedure.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that way that might diffuse that problem on the other end, or might actually light a bomb on our end.
Right.
One way, we'll know one way or the other.
Right. Understood. Okay, I get it.
Thank you.
Okay, if there's not any other business, although we do have lots of other business, I will call for an adjourning of this call, and we'll pick up again on the 22nd.
Can you put a little stop to please?
Yes, you can please stop the recording.
Ron, this is Glenn.
Yes, Glenn.